Chapter 5 Unpleasant Surprises. When Dunstan left Silas's house, carrying the two leather bags full of gold coins, he didn't know that the weaver was already very near the house. He had left just in time. If he had stayed another few minutes, Silas would have discovered him. Silas had left his house because he needed some thread in order to continue his weaving. So he had gone to one of the women in the village to get some. He knew that he'd be back soon, and so he hadn't locked his door. He had never heard of a robbery in Raveloe, and nobody would go out in such bad weather, so he knew that his money would be safe. He went into his house, happy to be home after being outside in the cold and rain. "It's so good to warm myself," Silas thought, sitting down in front of the fire. "Soon I'll prepare supper, but first I'll take out my gold coins and look at them for a short time." Silas went to his hiding place and lifted the stones. Then he saw that the hole was empty. The bags of coins had disappeared. He couldn't believe that his money had gone. "Did I hide the gold in a different place last night?" he asked himself. Silas looked everywhere, hoping that he would find his money, but it wasn't in the house. He put his hands to his head and cried in despair. "A robber must have taken the money while I was out," he said to himself. "It must be one of the villagers. I must go to the Rainbow and ask for help in finding the robber." Silas ran out into the dark, rainy night. He didn't lock his door because he had nothing more to lose. He ran very quickly until he arrived at the pub. As usual, it was full of villagers drinking beer and telling stories. When Silas suddenly ran in, everybody looked at him. He stood in the middle of the pub, staring around him with his large eyes. For a few seconds, nobody said anything. All the villagers were afraid because Silas looked so strange with his wet clothes and wild eyes. Some of them thought that a ghost had come into the pub, and others thought it must be a madman. "What are you doing here, old Marner?" one of the villagers finally asked. "You haven't come to this pub during the 15 years that you've been living in Raveloe."
"I've been robbed!" Silas shouted. "If one of you took my money, give it back to me, and I won't even go to the police."
The villagers looked at each other in surprise.
"Sit down and take off your wet coat, Mr. Marner," said one of the men. "Now tell us the whole story from the beginning, so that we can understand you."
Silas sat down slowly, and all the villagers could see that he wasn't mad, but only very unhappy.
"All my money is gone," Silas explained in a trembling voice. "I went out for a few minutes to get some thread, and I didn't lock the door. When I came back, I saw that the money had disappeared, and I saw no sign of the person who had taken it."
"A robbery in Raveloe? That's never happened before. Who could have done such a thing?" asked one of the villagers.
"It's a real mystery," said another. "It can't be anyone here because we've all been in the pub all evening."
"How did anyone know that you had left your door unlocked?" asked another villager.
"Maybe it was the work of the devil," someone whispered. "You say that there was no sign that anyone had been in the house.
It could be that there were signs, but that you didn't see them," another villager said. "You probably can't see well anymore because of all your weaving."
"Someone has to go to the village policeman with Silas," a few people said. "The policeman can then go to the house to look for clues."
"That's the best idea," everyone agreed.
Two men offered to go with Silas, and the three of them left the pub immediately, although it was still raining hard. While these events were going on in the Rainbow,
Godfrey had just returned home to the Red House. He had been at the party in town and had danced with Nancy Lammeter. He realized that Dunstan hadn't come home, although it was very late. But this wasn't unusual. He also saw that his horse wasn't there. But Godfrey was busy thinking about Nancy, and so he didn't think much about Dunstan. By the next morning, everyone in the area knew about the robbery and talked about it excitedly. When Godfrey heard the story, he, like everyone else, went to Silas's house to see the scene of the crime. Then he went to the Rainbow, where he heard all the different opinions from various villagers. But by this time, Godfrey was already less interested in the robbery. He was worried about his brother. "Where is Dunstan?" he asked himself. "What has he done with my horse? And where is the money I have to give to father?" Godfrey decided to ride to the town on one of his father's horses to look for Dunstan. After riding for a while, he saw a villager he knew. "Hello, Mr. Godfrey," the man said respectfully, stopping his horse near Godfrey. "Your brother was lucky yesterday, wasn't he?" "What do you mean?" Godfrey asked, surprised. "I've just seen your horse," said the man. "It's dead, and from the way it looks, it's been dead for quite a long time. I know Mr. Dunstan was riding it because I saw him yesterday. I saw the horse fall, but I know your brother wasn't hurt because he left the horse and walked away. Haven't you seen him?" "No, I haven't," Godfrey said angrily. "He was supposed to sell the horse for me. I see now that I shouldn't have let him do that." "I'm sure Mr. Dunstan will return soon and explain everything," said the villager. "I'm sorry to have given you such bad news." Godfrey rode on slowly, thinking about what he had to do. "Tomorrow I must confess everything to father," Godfrey thought. "I must tell him about the money. I must also tell him about my marriage. It's better that I tell him myself before Molly comes and tells him, as she is threatening to do." Godfrey went to bed that night, thinking about what he would say to his father and what the consequences might be. But when he woke up the next morning, he changed his mind. "Father will never forgive me for marrying someone without his permission, especially a woman like Molly," he thought. "No, I won't tell him about her. I'll only tell him about the money. Maybe Dunstan won't come back for a few days, and that will give father time to forget how angry he is with both of us."